Not yet. Next year.
Okay. I was like, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So you're just closer.
Just another year. It's just...
I almost said, how's it feel getting used to being 40? But next to hold that. I have to hold that. Throw in that shade yet till next year.
Yeah, I got another year before that. But no, it is good to be with everybody. Good morning to 91.1 Hinesville, Glasgow, 91.5 Litchfield, Hardinsburg, and 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky. And also good morning to our app listeners. Love you guys as well, the Box 2 family. It is a great day to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. And thank you, Miss Hannah, for the happy birthday. And we're going to be trucking along with some Bible study and some Bible Q&A. Got Mr. Bjork coming on at 8:30. Right around the corner is our spring share-a-thon. I just love to say that because I like to hear the words.
Think about spring.
Spring. Yeah. I think that's why I'm so excited for it. No, I really do like share-a-thons and the unity and the family that assembles together.
I thought you were about to say food.
And the food.
It sounded like you were trying to merge food and family together, well, but that's basically what Share-a-thon does.
Yeah, it merges the family of God and the food that the family of God provides for the family of God to come together so we can reach and bring more people into the family of God.
Well, I think we have a schedule to talk to Miss Karen Lacefield before Share-a-thon, so maybe she can kind of get us back on track before... All the temptation comes.
I need all the help there I can get right now.
I do too. The holidays have hit hard. But I was like, you know what? I think after the holidays and Valentine's Day, Miss Karen, it'd be a good time for you to come back on with us. So amen. Get geared up for that, everybody.
Yeah, I need some help. I need some encouragement for sure. Well, this morning, I Mr. Tim had said it himself this morning, and I felt that... even this morning, I woke up about 3, and I don't think I ever actually went back to sleep, and it wasn't because of midlife crisis, because I'm turning 40. I had that epiphany a couple weeks ago, but I really woke up just feeling the heavy heart for so many that's walking through things right now, and the difficulties of life, and I'm not trying to be woe is me or Eeyore's third cousin, but there's a lot of people right now that we know that's walking through very hard situations and difficult situations, health situations, looking for answers and things. Don't know why is God not healed or why has God not done this. And I mean, I could tell you 100 different situations, probably no exaggerations of things people's going through this morning. And even on our own, you know, life, sometimes we get very busy and we lose the empathy and the compassion, as Paul says, to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, and there's seasons for both. But I just wanted us to take a minute opening up this morning just to spend a little time in prayer for those people that are hurting, for our own families, and just kind of lift them up, because in the body of Christ right now, there's so many suffering and so many that I know just recently with cancer or diagnosis they didn't expect, or, you know, maybe kid issues or money issues or miscarriage. It's just so many
infertility,
different things right now that I know people's really hurting with. And so, Lord, we just lift up all these situations this morning to you. Most importantly, you're the God of peace.
Yes,
you're the God of peace, Father. And I thank you that in every situation that we are anchored by peace that we may not even sense or even feel emotionally, but we're anchored by peace. God, I thank you that you are the God of hope. I thank you that you are healer. I thank you that you are a provider. I thank you that through every situation and every circumstance, you are the God that sees, you are the God that hears, and you are the God that responds.
Yes.
And Father, I thank you that you are with your people. I thank you that you have not forsaken and that you have not left. And Lord, I just lift up every single saint, every single person that has had a diagnosis lately that they did not expect, or they're walking through a cancer battle, or they're walking through increased diabetes, they're walking through miscarriages or infertility. I thank you, Lord, that you are the God that heals, that you are the God that provides.
Yes, Lord. Thank
and
you,
I
Jesus.
Thank you that you have not changed, that you have not wavered. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you are able and you are willing. And Lord, we just put our trust and faith in you.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we just thank you that cancerous cells have to dry up in Jesus' name. We thank you that diabetes has to be regulated. I thank you that blood pressure is going to drop. I thank you for fertility to come back into infertile wombs. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are doing things that we cannot imagine, can't see, that we can't even comprehend. But God, we will see one day. Thank you. And I thank you, Father, for provision and financial situations. I thank you for marriages that are being restored. I thank you for rebellious kids that are coming back home. I thank you, Father, that you are moving in extraordinary, amazing ways. And we just bless you, Lord. And we just put our faith and we say, yes, Lord. We just say, yes, Lord. We rest in your presence. We rest in your peace. Even if I don't feel it emotionally, even if it's not overwhelming me, I know it's there. I know your peace is there. I know your rest is there.
Jesus.
I know that your healing is there. And this morning, we just rest in that, Father. And so we speak to those who have been sucker punched. We speak to those who are in hurting. We speak to those in pain. We speak to those in tears. We speak to those in depression. We speak to those in anxiety. We speak to those that are overwhelmed with life and trials and difficulties. We just, by the Spirit of God, prophesy deep breath in the Spirit. Just take a deep breath in the Spirit and receive the touch of the Holy Spirit in your life. He is with you, my friend. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you're out there this morning and you are just needing prayer for anything whatsoever, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. 270-257-2689 is the number to the station. 270-230-6337 is my personal number. I would love to pray with you and connect with you. Again, the station number is 270-257-0726. If you can't, if you need it after hours or somebody's not able to answer at that moment, 270-230-6337 is the number to that's my personal number. You can text me or call me as well.
So Romans 8:18 again, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one you used the other morning or the other Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that keeps coming to me when I'm praying over this. But I do, we talked about how the glory's here and it's coming. I've been praying that the Lord would allow these ones who are suffering to get glimpses of that glory in the midst of their suffering. Because you just can't tell me that, you know, when Stephen was truly had to be in so much pain as he was being stoned, that he wasn't experiencing such a powerful glory in that moment, you know. And I know his moment was a lot shorter than a lot of people's sufferings. Because, I mean, you know, well, actually, I don't know that for sure. I don't know how long it would have taken before he passed on as he was being stoned. But I just think about that. And I know maybe the Lord won't take away their suffering, their pain completely. But I just pray that his presence, with his presence comes some relief from that pain that they're experiencing. So, and I've seen it happen before. So I believe that he can do that. So that's been my prayer for a lot of these ones that are actually in physical pain. Like, and it's hard either way, like emotional pain or physical, but there's something about, if you've never had physical pain, like, you just think about the worst pain you've ever had and then imagine it continuing and not stopping, you know, and possibly being even worse than that. So I pray that the Lord would help us to have empathy and put ourselves in, you know, as we pray for others, put ourselves in their place. And I think it helps us to pray right.
Mm-hmm. I think if we're not careful, in the body of Christ, we'll allow petty things that to desensitize us and to get us very much distracted and busied with life and
Or just in a bad mood in general, and then you're just not, you're focusing on your problems and not on your...
Yeah, definitely. And so may the Lord soften our hearts and allow us by the Spirit of God and by the anointing of God to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice.
But. Amen. I was actually, the other day, Miss Sue Mingus was texting me just a little encouragement, and I was telling her, I said, you know, Miss Sue, I'll just, you know, honor her for a second, but, you know, there's just those ones that they don't really, they may not always say much, but you can feel that they are, their love for people. Mm-hmm. And you can, even without them saying anything, you can just see and feel that they are rejoicing with those who rejoice, because you can see it all over them. Even if they never say anything, that they're rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep, that they really care. And that's, I believe, it was just standing out to me that day when she was texting me, because she don't, we don't always text each other, but I do believe that. And if we could all, you know, get to that point where we don't have to always feel like we have to say something, because we've talked about that with people who are suffering too. Like, sometimes we feel like we have to have the right words to say, or, you know, we just might not, shouldn't say anything at all. But we've talked about the power of your presence and your heart. Your, if your heart is filled with love, then that person is going to be able to feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. We are in the book of Acts, verse 12, verse 20, chapter 12, verse 20 of the book of Acts.
Wait, I think 13:20, right? Because we started in 13:13.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I did the wrong 20 when I highlighted.
I just know that because it was the same number, 13:13. 36.
So it's, I had another part highlighted. That's what it was. So it's Acts 13, verse 36. Acts 13, verse 36 is where we're at, because he's about to preach the gospel. For David, after he'd served the purpose of God in his own generation. Now, I do find there's, I don't know how much of a rabbit trail, I really didn't want to go down there. But I do think there is a lot of significance in that phrase there. For David, after he served the purpose of God in his generation, fell asleep and was laid in with his fathers and saw corruption. So here, now, this is where the rabbit hole could get really deep, and I'm trying not to for the sake of time. There's different views. You could see that as like predestination. He's just there to serve what God's put him there. I do think there is a hint of that in there, that I'm not a full predestinationist. Don't hear what I'm not saying here. But I do think we have a purpose of the Father on earth. And I think that David fulfilled that purpose. I think fulfilling the purpose, I don't think we can ever, I will stick to this. I don't think God changes his plan or his will based upon our decisions. I think he uses our decisions to accomplish his will. Mm-hmm. So, as we said before, I utterly reject the ideology of open theism, which denotes that God is basically doesn't know the future, and he's responding based upon our decision. So what we do, God almost has to change everything to work it out. I don't see that in the Bible, and I don't see that with an all-knowing God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I understand there's a couple of scriptures people want to bring up, like with Moses praying, God relented or repented, whatever translation you want to use. I think there is a notion that God always knew that was going to happen.
So, see, this concept, I have to let go and just give it to the Lord sometimes, because I fall probably closer to predestination than most people would, but not fully, because I believe that we're not robots, and he gave us choices to make. But it bothers me a little bit with the, like, I completely disagree with open theism. So, but sometimes I get in my head too much about it. Like, if I'm praying, then I start to think, like, why am I praying? Like, if he already knows what's going to happen, what, like, I kind of start to overthink it too much sometimes, so I have to just let go, because obviously I go back to the word. He told us, yes, there's predestination in here, but there's also a model prayer that Jesus gave to us to pray. So, I mean, and Jesus prayed. So if God himself prayed, then we should pray. And we don't understand all the logistics of how it all works, but we can trust that he knows the end from the beginning and he hears us in the moment.
Yeah.
You know,
I would just say with open theism, he could never really fully prophesy that. Because any prophecy, if open theism is correct, then the book of Revelation can be changed.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, anything can be changed. Like, if it's not set in stone, the future. Yeah,
but I don't think that ever negates that we have not because we ask not. So it's like a lot of times with prayer, instead of changing God, it's actually changing us.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that's what we're... I think a lot of times with prayer, we're trying to convince God to do something.
Yeah.
And I think that's a mistake sometimes in prayer because God's not necessarily one who's being pleaded to. There is times like David said, please not, you know, take not thy spirit from me. But I think prayer's got to become less about trying to convince God what we want done and start learning what his will is and praying in his name.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I hope I'm communicating that right, because it could get tricky there. I think a lot of times we're trying to pray our will. But he says, anything you ask in my name will be given. And I think that my name is not just saying Jesus' name's a magic incantation, like in Jesus' name, here's a Cadillac. Here's Jesus' name, here's a 8-bedroom mansion. Here's in Jesus' name, here's a bank account. In Jesus' name, there's healing. In Jesus' name, there's this. I think that, like, then we're, like, treating God as this, like, as I've said before, a genie in a bottle. It's like, if I convince you the right way or say the right words, you're going to do this. Yeah. And I'm going to change your mind. But I don't think that's what Jesus was really trying to communicate to us and teach us. I think he was saying, anything you pray in my name. Jesus didn't pray in his own will.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I do nothing except what I see my Father do. And he even said, you know, even in his prayer in the garden, he was like, if it be your will, let this cup pass, but nevertheless, not my will be done. He could easily have been praying, like we would have prayed, Lord, whatever it takes, let this cup pass, let this cup pass, let this cup pass. And I think that's the shift in prayer that we have to step into, is less of my desire, less of my will, less of my name, and more of his name. And I think that unlocks a lot more answered prayer.
Definitely.
And I think that actually fixes this whole issue of why am I praying?
Yeah. It does. It's just in the sense of, like, it's more of the whole, like, he already knows what everybody's going to choose. You know, like, that's more, is like, he knows whether this, even with his will, like, he knows whether, if I'm praying his will, he knows whether this person is going to end up doing it or not. But he, like, I go back to the word. Like, it's like, I always go back to the word that he knew what I was going to choose, but he still died for me. He still died and gave opportunity to every person that he knew that wasn't going to choose it.
Mm-hmm.
So if he was willing to do that, then we can sacrifice time and pray for people. You know, like, I think about that because I'm like, well, what if we pray for these people and nothing ever happens and they still end up going to hell? Like, these are just questions that I have and I think about. But then it's like, I go back to Jesus. Like, he did it anyway because he loved them. And if we love people, if we love like he loves, then we'll just be obedient anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We won't have to be results driven.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. Results driven. So here, David, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation, he died, basically fell asleep, and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets shall come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts of Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with him, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy, the religious system always is, and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region, but the Jews, incited the devout women of high standing and leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So basically there, I love this because the Jews are jealous. People's coming back the next Sabbath. They want to hear more of the word. The Jewish leaders, the Jewish people are jealous. And then this gospel, he said, I've made you a light for the Gentiles. You bring salvation to the ends of the earth. He's talking to Paul. Boom, go for it. And rejoicing. And I love this. I think this is could very well be a revelation for us. And the whole world, word of the Lord was spreading throughout the region, but the Jews incited the devout women of high standing, the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. So these devout men stirred up these women, these high influential people, and they said, they got them incited. They got them fired up. They rioted. They really incited a riot. And it drove these two men out. Instead of moaning and groaning and saying, we're going to come back in here. We're going to take it. You know what they did? They shook the dust off their feet and they left. Mm-hmm. And they were filled with great joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make sense.
No, because we're always taught, fight for territory, fight for this, fight for this, fight for this. And they were like, nope, we're done.
It's not worth it. Like, it's not worth it here anyway.
Mm-mm. We'll shake the dust off our feet. And they went on to the journey. And they were filled with great joy and with the Holy Spirit.
Do you think that pride gets in the way and keeps us from having joy like that? I mean, I definitely think like disappointment, you know, discouragement, all that stuff. But it seems like to just not be able to let it go, the fact that it's not going to work out somewhere, sometimes pride could get in the way there.
Yeah.
Like, well, I didn't do it. Like, I didn't win. I didn't do this right. I didn't, you know.
Yeah, I think pride. I think, too, you said it earlier. I think we're so results driven in the temporary.
Yes.
In the here and now, that we think that unless we're possessing the land now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure this is one of those places I want to be very careful how I say this, because God gave the Jewish people the land of Canaan. That was the promised land, right? Like, that was the promised land. In the kingdom of God in the new covenant, he didn't give us land. Land was not the end game. Like, the kingdom of God was.
Yeah.
And all of this temporal things, all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God. Like, it's not just about us possessing the land. He's going to possess the land. Here with the Israelites, they were called to possess the land. They were called. They were saying, here, I'm going to make you a people. And when I make you this people, you're going to possess this land. And I'm going to show my light to the rest of the world of what it would be for to be my people. But in the kingdom of God, literally, they asked him, when are you going to restore to us the kingdom of Israel? Like, when are you going to do this? When are you going to restore to us the lands? Basically what they're asking. When are we going to get power back? And he said, that's not mine for to know. That's the Father's business. He said, what you got to do right now is to go preach the gospel. Because I'm about a different kingdom now. I'm not trying to build an earthly kingdom. I'm building a heavenly kingdom that will subdue all the earthly kingdoms. And I feel like if we're not careful, we'll become too infatuated with the earthly kingdom and forget that all these earthly kingdoms are going to become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ. And then the land will be given to us as the saints of God. But we're not to fight for it. We don't have to win it. What we're supposed to do is preach the gospel like Paul did. When they kicked him out, they didn't get offended. They didn't get mad. They dusted off their feet and they went on to the next city. And it produced great joy and a feeling of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like sometimes we're so obsessed. And I know in my own heart too, we can all get there. Like, I'm using the pronoun we because I believe it's we. We get very consumed with earthly success, earthly wins, earthly triumphs, earthly possessions. And we forget that Jesus is building a kingdom that is beyond greater than anything we could ever imagine. And one day, all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. But it's not our win. It's His.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. I think there's a difference. Not saying that we don't, you know, wherever the sole of our foot touches, there He gives it. Okay, that was a promise to Israel for a specific time. I think the principle's there, though, that wherever now we have a greater kingdom than just going after Canaan. Now we have the kingdom of God, which is peace, joy, and righteousness. So where we go, peace, joy, and righteousness will follow.
It's like if we're going to use a physical territory for the kingdom, then it seems like when that aligns, then the Lord does give it. But if He knows that we're not going to use something for the kingdom, then we're not just gaining wealth wherever we go. Because we see that principle when He talks about the talents. Like, if you don't use what you have, I mean, He gives and He takes away. Like, so, I mean, and also I think we know that every good thing comes from above. Like, it comes from heaven. But I think sometimes we forget that the enemy offers us things too. The enemy offers gifts. Like, I want to share this. I think it'll be okay. I'll keep it anonymous. But recently I heard from one young person about another young person that they were talking to. And this young person was battling a lot of different spiritual things. And basically said that they worship the devil. And hang with me. They worship the devil because, like, their reason why they worship the devil. This person also has some, like, is diagnosed with autism and things like that. So, I don't know the full situation, but I felt like the statement was good to, like the Lord used it to speak something. He said he worshiped the devil because the devil gets him money when he needs it. And it just had me thinking about, you know, that there is some truth in that. Like what did Satan offer Jesus when he tried to tempt him? He offered him wealth and all the kingdoms. I mean, he was trying to get him to eat, but, like, he offered him that. And that's what he does offer to people. And I think we forget that, like, if we're seeking something with a fleshly motive, we don't need to always think it's the Lord providing for us. The Lord will provide for us the good things, the things that can be used for His kingdom. But I think we put the name of the Lord on a lot of things that He didn't actually give to us sometimes.
I don't disagree with that. I think that even the Antichrists will commit foolery upon people to deceive them and to manipulate them. And one of them very well could be false gifts, false security, false safety, all these kind of
things. And a lot of people that get into, you know, bondage and, like, witchcraft and things like that, they were seeking something and the enemy made them think that he could provide it for them. And then they kind of got hooked into, you know, a lifestyle of bondage and things like that. So, worth noting that, like, you know, the kingdom of God, it's not about us, like you were saying. Like, anything that the Lord gives to us, He's always going to want us to share it and to be used for His kingdom. But a lot of the flip side, if we're seeking things selfishly or, you know, out of any other reason, then we need to be careful not to be actually partnering with the enemy a lot of times. So,
yeah. Amen. Well, let's do our first trivia question of the morning. We're going to play a, a song here. I was looking for one to play. Actually, I really like that one. It's an older, a little bit older, a couple years old. Zach Williams, Big Tent Revival. I don't know if you ever heard. I just like that song. Good uplifting song for this morning. What warrior fought so long and desperately that his hand was stuck to the hilt of his sword? What warrior fought so long and desperately that his hand was stuck to the hilt of his sword? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Amen. We're back here on this February 13th, 2026. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. I don't know, some people that celebrate it, some people don't. If you are going to take your lovely spouse or amazing husband, whatever, out tomorrow, what's the plans? What's the plans? Text us your wonderful plans. And we see what you're doing. See who has the best plans for their spouse. We'll have a competition this morning.
See who has the best plans.
Maybe I can learn some things.
I feel like a lot of you have been with your spouses for a long time. But I'm already seeing the more years that you're together, you start running out of ideas.
Yeah. You know, I saw this morning when I woke up at 3 and couldn't go back to sleep, there's not a lot you do at 3 in the morning. So I was reading some news and trying to go back to sleep and couldn't. But I was reading some news and there was an article I found, and I can't remember which website I found it on, but it was couples that don't celebrate Valentine's Day are happier. I don't understand it really. I don't know where their study comes from, but I could see where if Valentine's Day is the only day of the year where you celebrate anything, it could be not a great marriage. But I would say any day that you could get together with a date or
like
a
it's just another normal, like every day's Valentine's Day for them, maybe. I don't know.
I guess so. But I didn't get to read the full article, but I did read that headline. I was thinking that's interesting. I was going to try to find it and read it when I'm a little bit more alert. But it was just a very eye-catching thing. One listener says, I feel like Valentine's Day is too much pressure and especially pushed by the media. You should celebrate and love your spouse every day of the year. Amen. I love that.
That is good.
I do feel like it's too commercialized. And I feel like people feel the responsibility to buy a lot of flowers or a lot of chocolates. And, you know, it's just, I'm not against any of that, but my wife made me stop sending flowers. She says, you're embarrassing me. And so, because I was sending her flowers at work. It wasn't for Valentine's Day, just random days. I just send her flowers. And then she was like, you're embarrassing me because the flower guy knows me by name now. So then I stopped sending her flowers. And then she started saying something about that. She goes, kind of miss them now. And I'm like, I wish you'd make up my mind. And so Miss Brenda says they're going to eat loaded nachos and watch Kentucky beat Florida. Is that close to your Valentine's Day, Hannah?
Probably. I think we're at home this year. That's funny. Yeah, actually, that's if I ever usually ever ask Ethan like what he wants me to make, I'm like, I'll learn anything, I'll make it, and he's like, loaded nachos. Like, easy enough.
Easy enough. I've got a cheesecake made for me tonight.
Wow. That sounds good.
So, yeah.
See, I need to learn how to make a cheesecake as good as Ethan, cuz he learned it for me. One time, I think it was Christmas or I don't know when it was, but he's pretty good at it. Yeah. So is Heather, though.
I know that one night he was going back and forth between houses to bake his cheesecake. Forgot what he was doing the next day. It was something.
It was like a Christmas or something, I think.
Yeah, I guess it was. Was it Thanksgiving?
Maybe it was.
I think it may have been Thanksgiving.
One of the holidays.
I know he was back and forth from the house. I have to go home and make my, all right, Susie Homemaker, you go make your cheesecake. Put your apron on.
Well, and once people tasted his first one, then they started requesting it every time. So then he's like, I got to make it. Hey, but forget the flowers. I don't know your all's opinions on this, but cheesecake. That's a good gift.
Flour, cheesecake that looks like flowers.
Coffee or cheesecake or both. Yeah. Or chocolate covered strawberries too.
Yeah, that's like the chocolate covered strawberries, they're a hit with my wife. But I feel like very few things are more overpriced than chocolate covered strawberries. Like, I feel like I can go buy strawberries and make them a lot cheaper.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Than I can buy them.
Now they can. They make them a lot prettier, probably. I don't know how they get
the sauce.
I don't know how they get them so good looking, but yeah, that's actually something we usually do each year is make them.
Yeah, I could do that tomorrow. I could make my wife some chocolate covered strawberries.
Elizabeth agreed, coffee, smiley face. So, Keith, if you're listening out there.
Skip the flowers and go straight for the coffee, the loaded nachos, where there's a lot of different opportunities. And I do think that this is me, and I say the same thing, like, about Christmas and birthdays, and a lot of times, you know, I think that, excuse me. I think a lot of people actually appreciate homemade stuff more than store-bought gifts. Like Christmas, the best gift you could ever give me for Christmas is really good cream candy. Make you cream candy and give it to me. You don't have to be stodgy, just make it. All right. I do feel like that. I feel like people really do cherish homemade stuff more. And, like, we have some kind of little picture of Cloud that, it's probably about 4 years old and made out of popsicle sticks, but it sits on that television stand every year. I mean, like, and he just made it as like a little kid at school one time. We keep it. We're always going to keep it because it means something to us. But there's gifts that, you know, I've got from especially my mom sometimes. And like, I don't know what they were. I don't even know where they're at because she'll just buy us anything. Like, she just goes to the store and if it's a sale, she gets it. Like, it could literally be like, different socks. Like, we're gonna do a 50% off clearance because they're different colored socks. So we'll end up with like six pairs of those because they were on clearance. And well, like, Mom, why'd you buy these for us? And she goes, well, it's just on clearance. It's a good deal. And I'm like,
oh, I love it. See, Ethan, he likes getting like, I guess you call them funky socks. Like, for work, you know, like the dress socks, but they always have random stuff on it, like tacos, and I don't know why he likes those, but yeah, he just likes to have those. I haven't got any other plans from anybody. All I got is coffee with a smiley face.
Yeah. We also don't have an answer for the trivia question. What warrior fought so long and desperately that his hand was stuck to the hilt of his sword? What warrior fought so long and desperately that his hand was stuck to the hilt of his sword? And remember, if you need prayer for anything today, you just need somebody to chat with for a minute, our station number is 270-257-2689, or you can text me at 270-230-6337. All right.
Well, somebody did text in. Their husband wanted to tell everyone that there's going to be a $5 big chicken meal somewhere tomorrow. You can probably figure that out where that's going to be.
If you need coupons.
Hey, that is they do special, like, at restaurants and fast food places. I do like how they do that on Valentine's Day. They do, like, special things for it.
Yeah.
Like, I think I don't know if we're supposed to say places. So one place, they've been doing heart biscuits for a while.
Yeah.
I like that.
I need to get one of those. I haven't got one of those yet.
I've gotten too many of those. Like, I didn't even know that they were doing them. And then there's just such a good deal on them and they're so yummy. But yeah, they just have special things like that.
I was going to look for our Bible questions and I went to the wrong group chat.
Oh, I can probably get to them.
I went to the group chat and saw Ezra's sock that we found in our cabinet the other day in the kitchen. It's his cabinet he goes to play all the time. And Heather's going in the cabinet to grab something. And she says, there's a sock in here. And I guess Ezra was marking his territory.
He's
saying,
probably crawling in
there. This is my cabinet right here.
I don't know why he likes cabinets so much. Maybe he'll work on cabinets.
He said, this is my cabinet, and I'm leaving my sock in here to prove it.
Maybe he'll work on cabinets one day. I don't know. I found them, though. well, they think it's funny about Ezra's sock.
Yeah, he was just sitting there in our Tupperware cabinet.
So you all did the Sons of God, but you all didn't do any of the other ones?
We did the baptism one. So I think we have Three and four is left to
Okay.
do.
When Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you," in John 14:27, is he referring to the Holy Spirit?
So if we turn over to John 14:7, 27?
14:27.
All right. Let's start in 25. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, with whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to..." Gosh, tongue tied. Let's start 27 completely over. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." I don't think he's talking about just the person of the Holy Spirit. I think he's talking about peace. Now,
shalom.
Yeah, I think, and it's talking about a peace that the world can't give. "Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Now, I do think the Holy Spirit gives us peace. So I do think it's all incorporated, but I don't think he's saying exclusively like, "My peace, my Holy Spirit." I think he's saying, "My peace, the peace that I have died to give you to reconcile you back to the Father." I think that's the peace.
I think so too, because it doesn't seem like it's continuing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not personified as he's talking about the peace, which we know that he is our peace. Like if we have the Holy Spirit, we have peace. But I think he's going on to explain the peace that he's giving to us.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with, yes, the Holy Spirit is 100% a part of giving us peace because he's God. But I don't think this is like a pronoun for him or something like that. I think that is literally saying, "I'm leaving you peace."
That's pretty cool, though, that his peace, like, because he literally has given us everything. Like, the only thing he hasn't given us is the ability to be him, like, mm-hmm. to be God and, like, share the things that make him God. But every other, all the blessings that come with him, all of the inheritance and the, you know, even gifts and characteristics, like he's given us all of that.
He's a good God. Amen.
"Not as the world gives do I give to you." Because we talked about that the other day, like the world offers us things, but then they don't have substance and they just fade away. Or like the enemy will offer us things that make us think that we're going to get peace from them, but then we realize that there's no peace in it, and then we just keep hopping from one thing to the next thing, hoping that it will give us peace. But he's saying, like, "I'm not even going to, like, I'm just giving it to you, like, mm-hmm. the real thing."
Yeah. There is a, I'm looking for the next question. Do you want to read number four?
Yeah.
And I was looking a little bit ahead while you were talking about that, but, there was a note that I'm trying to find somewhere.
On the one, next one. "During the silent years from Malachi to the birth of Jesus, were there no prophets at all or just no word from the Lord? Were there no prophets at all or just no word from the Lord?"
I think I'm going to go down to, I think there was no prophets, not just no word of the Lord. And the reason so is that there, in the Old Testament, the prophets were the one writing scripture. So often it was the word of the Lord spoken to prophets. Hebrews reminds us that it was through the prophets he spoke in years long ago from prophets, but now he's speaking from his son. And there was actually a note from rabbinical teaching that I wanted to find, and that's what I'm looking for here. But I can't find it. I was hoping I could find that really quick because I know where it's at in my OneNote app. I just don't know, but I'm not. But there was a rabbinical teaching that talks about these 460 rough years of the silence, that there was no prophets to interpret the word of God for us, that there was actually no prophets. That's non-canonized scripture. That's more rabbinical teaching. But it was, even the Jewish people did not consider it like that to be authoritative. Now, where there are people speaking and historians writing and the Lord doing stuff, I think so. But to have an authoritative voice for scripture and canon, there wasn't. And I think that means there was no true prophet. I think there
until
may
be, John the Baptist.
Yeah. So from Malachi to John the Baptist, I don't believe there was a prophet.
It's inspired for scripture.
Yeah, I think there probably was priests doing things. There was godly people doing things. The Lord may have been speaking to people personally, but not in the canonized authoritative way of writing scripture. So I would say the word, it would be contingent upon how you're seeing that question asked. Like, was there prophets? Yes, there was people hearing the voice of the Lord. Was there prophets writing scripture and hearing like Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Malachi and Zephaniah and all them? No, I don't think there was. But I think that would you say you've heard the voice of the Lord before, Hannah?
Not audible, but
he spoke to
he
you.
He spoke to me. Yeah, like now, to my spirit.
But do you call yourself a prophet?
No.
I think that's what would happen during those 460 years.
It's like relationship. Like, there were people who still had a relationship with him, but yeah, not people who are called to write.
And I think that there are people, there are prophets in the land today in the sense of people who have that prophetic gifting operating in their life. But even them, I think, is different than Ezekiel or Isaiah, like in the sense of without a hesitation, writing scripture, canonized and all that kind of thing. But I think God spoke to them differently. And I'm walking on very careful ground here, but hear what I'm going to try to say. It's not that God doesn't speak to us. It's that I believe God was speaking through them differently than he does today, because today he's speaking through his son.
Yeah.
And then he was speaking through his prophets. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a difference.
And they were all pointing to the son.
Yes.
It was all pointing forward.
But now our prophets that are doing today are not necessarily prophesying of the coming Messiah. He is came, and now we have a perfect word through him. We've always had a perfect word, but the fullness, the mystery, everything that needs to be unraveled for us to be saved, to be born again, reconciled to the Father, has already been released. Like, we're waiting nothing. What prophets do today is more like what we just read in the New Testament a couple of days ago in Acts, where they prophesied of the famine. We're prophesying of events to come, like Daniel did, I guess, to an extent, but they were all pointing to the coming deliverer.
Yeah.
And you could say, in a sense, prophets today are pointing towards
second coming.
The second coming, and I would agree with that, but I don't believe that we're, I want to make sure I word this very correctly. This is one of those tricky things that people would take what I say and misapply it. I believe there are prophets prophesying today, but I believe the word of the Lord came through the Son in the perfection, and we're lacking nothing. So in no way, form, or fashion will we have another prophet that prophesies the word of God in the sense of authoritative canonization.
Yeah, we don't need any more scripture. Because no. This is the fullness.
The Son has given us the perfect word and the perfect scripture. Everything we
He's
need.
He's fulfilled it. He is the fulfillment of all of it.
Everything we need to live a godly life before God has been given to us. And the call to repentance, the call to walk in obedience, the Son has done that. And I think that's what Hebrews is saying. He's a better articulator. He has a better word. He has a better covenant. I want to be very careful how I'm wording this, because I don't want to negate that prophets are here, prophets are prophesying, and we are hearing the word of the Lord, but I think it's radically, drastically different than what was happening with Old Testament prophets. I think your New Testament prophets are different from your Old Testament prophets. You will read a lot of books that claim differently, and I am not preaching cessationalism. Actually, I'm preaching very much continuationism, but I don't think to preach that things have shifted and changed denotes cessationalism. I think we have to understand in the fullness of what the scripture is trying to get us. I think we've become so commercialized and giftings and all these kind of things within the New Testament church, I mean in the American church and especially the Western church of today, that we can't even really always encapsulate what true New Testament church looks like. And I know that like, this doesn't give me joy to say this. This gives me great heaviness of heart and fear and trembling, as all of us should be, to make sure we're in the perfect will of God. This day of reckoning that we're seeing in the American church, we knew has been coming, because you can't play games with God's name and not have repercussions. And what we're seeing now is men who have called themselves by titles and have no character or integrity. And we've had people calling themselves prophets with no accountability. We have people prophesying and doing whatever they want on the social media and the churches, and we're going to hide behind the culture of honor. You can't touch me because I'm God's anointed. I don't need to be accountable to anybody. I don't have to repent when I've missed my word. I don't have to do anything. And we knew this day of reckoning was coming. And I'll just be very honest. I don't think it's anywhere remotely over. Now, what I do want to say is we cannot get caught up in headhunting. And I fear that there are certain men that I love and love to listen to that are becoming more Christian headhunters than they are edifiers for the church. Because God will expose the wolves.
Yeah.
He'll expose the wolves. And, Pastor, you need to protect your local flock from the wolves. But it's not our job to travel the earth and find every wolf. The Holy Spirit will do that. You are responsible for your immediate flock. And you should focus there.
Amen.
And so
I've had those same thoughts too about some, actually about a lot, because there's a lot of people on social media that I think they love the Lord, and I think they think that they're doing the right thing. I don't think they're just trying to pick fights, but I think they're maybe getting distracted from the Lord by trying to call out everybody.
Yeah, and at some point, you may have started out really pure-hearted, but it may eventually get to the point where it's no more about edification and protecting. It's about exposing, and you're playing God.
Yeah.
And you have to be very careful in that motion. That's one of the reasons I've always tried. I get people. I mean, I've had a lot of people actually come up to me and say, why don't you use names? We want to know. And if you ever want me to, like, give you more specifics when I say this person or this team or this worship team or whatever like that, I may not listen to no more. If you want to ask me specifics, you can come up to me in person and I'll tell you. But I'm not – my goal is not to destroy people. My goal is to push back demonic spirits. And I think sometimes we're not realizing that a lot of these – whenever there's a worship team that I don't listen to no more, because I don't necessarily agree with, I think their theology goes in dangerous places. And I think that the church they're accountable to is being exposed in a lot of different areas. And I think it's probably going to get worse for that movement. I've been leery of this movement for a long time. But the reason I'm not just openly coming out and doing social media videos or using this platform that God's given us to bash them is I think there's godly people in that movement.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think that there are people...
And not just that one, but, you know, use XYZ. Like, there are still a remnant in a lot of places that are experiencing judgment.
Yeah. And you, Hannah, you're with me enough. You've heard me say this. In our pursuit of repentance and change and going back to as good as we can by the grace of God to walk in the fullness of the New Testament church and what God has called us to be, we can never let people become our collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
Like I heard one pastor say one time, we're gonna drive this bus, and if you get run over, it doesn't matter to us.
Oh, wow.
And now he's not saying a real bus, but he's saying, you know, like the theoretical. I think then you've lost your love for people.
Yeah.
Because Jesus had the greatest mission we've ever seen out of a man on the earth. He was the Son of God, but he was fully man. And he had a mission. And you could say people got in his way, and you could say that he told Peter, get behind me, Satan. But he never just ran over Peter.
Like, he literally said, he was always looking out for me. When he came back, he said, where's Peter? Go get him.
Yeah.
He didn't just forget about him.
I don't think you ever see where people become collateral damage for Jesus. Even the one that was going to betray him, where what would have been 7 chapters in John before he ever betrayed him. He called him a devil, and yet he still loved him.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could learn a lot about that with restoring one another and not giving up on people. Like, yeah. you can have corrective words that are hard, like Jesus did. He didn't hold back anything from him, but he continued to... They were his brothers.
Yeah.
They never stopped being... And he still, even knowing everything about Judas at one point, like, he still washed his feet. He still... He didn't accept anything, but he loved him.
Yeah. I know so many people that I believe started out really well, took a bite of the beast, and the beast took a bite of them. And they failed. They've walked in error. They've got caught up with this. They've got caught up with that. They've made bad decisions. And let me just say all this, like we all have. Now, I get it. When you choose to be a leader in the body of Christ, you're taking on more accountability and responsibility, and you'll be more in the light when you fall. But we should be very careful to celebrate people's fall lest we fall.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm thankful the Lord didn't just cast David aside.
Yeah.
Or a lot of these people that he used to write scripture.
Yeah. And that's not to negate anything of, I still stick to what I said a week or two ago, and I know we got to go break. I think there are certain sins and certain things that we do that may disqualify us from holding an office in the church. 100%. Like, it may permanently disqualify us. I'm not going to back up from that. Just like if a person has ever hurt a child or gone against a child, they should, I don't care how much they say they've been restored, they should never be in children ministry. Just period. Like, you can disagree with me. I'm fine with it. I could be wrong. I could get to heaven and the Lord could say, you were wrong for that, Aaron. But I know as a pastor, I'm going to protect our kids. Like, that's just what I'm going to do. And I praise God that you have been restored. I praise God that you have been forgiven. And I'm not going to say you're not welcome here. I'm not going to say that you can't be here. But I am going to say that you can't serve in this capacity. Because Titus and Timothy both warn us of being beyond reproof. And I don't know if I could ever, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I'm still sticking to those guns, but that doesn't mean we wound that person. That it doesn't mean that those who have, not everybody who says a false word or falls into deceit on theology is a false prophet. Not everybody that falls into greed or maybe gets a little too much focused on money is a charlatan. Like, we've got to learn to walk in love with people and also realize that I'm not a worldwide headhunter. I'm here in my local body with my local where God has me. And I need to be more focused upon sometimes within my Jerusalem than my Samaria or my Judea. I need to figure out this local place. So I got to go to break. I'm over. But what warrior fought so long and desperately that his hand was stuck to the hilt of his sword? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. We are back here. We do have an answer for that trivia question. What warrior fought so long and desperately that his hand was stuck to the hilt of his sword? It was Eleazar, 2 Samuel 23:10-11. 10-11. Gary Cox got that correct. Yep.
We had one with a number this week, and they always say the number ones are hardest. I think I agree.
Yeah. Well, we can do this one too. We'll go ahead and get this one out here. You got a Kingdom Corner for us this morning?
Yeah, I do. If we have time for it, or
we got plenty of time. In Lydia, Peter healed a man named Ananias. What was that man's illness? Ananias? How do you say that?
I don't know. Oh, what, is it Ananias?
Ananias? Ananias? That sounds
right. Is it E?
Yeah, A-E-N-E-A-S.
Yeah, I don't know if it's right, but I think I say like it that.
What was his illness? In Lydia, Peter healed a man named, and how do you say it?
Ananias.
Ananias.
Don't know
what was
right,
the man's illness? It sounds better than mine. So, all right, 270-257-2689. You can call in during this time. And Miss Hannah's going to do our Kingdom Corner. Then, of course, at 8:30, we got Mr. Bjork and Mr. Miller coming over here for the science department. And we get to go over for a prayer breakfast this morning. In lieu of regular chapel, we're going to do a prayer breakfast.
Yeah.
So, hallelujah.
That'll be good. Maybe it could be a prayer / birthday breakfast for you.
Amen.
I haven't had breakfast, so that sounds good. But, yes, yeah, so I am in Jeremiah chapter 33, so I will be hitting on the, I think we call it God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3, but I'm going to read verse 1 through 11. It's just so good this morning. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the guard. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great things, great and hidden things that you have not known. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah that were torn down to make a defense against the siege, mounds and against the sword. They are coming in to fight against the Chaldeans and to fill them with dead bodies of men whom I shall strike down in my anger and my wrath. For I have hidden my face from this city because of all their evil. Behold, I will bring it to health and healing, and I will heal them and reveal to them an abundance of prosperity and security. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel and rebuild them as they were at first. I will cleanse them from all the guilt of their sin against me, and I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. And this city shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and a glory before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear of all the good that I do for them. They shall fear and tremble because of all the good and all the prosperity that I provide for it. Thus says the Lord, in the place of which you say it is a waste, without man or beast, in these cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man or inhabitant or beast, there shall be heard again the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as at first, says the Lord. I know that was a little bit of a longer read, but man, just looking forward to this. Of course, we know that first, the Lord is speaking of the judgment that he is allowed to come upon the people of Israel because of their sin, of their wickedness. And he is saying that his word is set in stone, that judgment is coming. His judgment will come against them because they chose their sin. They chose that path. But in that, his covenant still stands. And it is known as the Davidic covenant. God will honor the Davidic covenant, and which has to do with the prosperity of Israel, the future to heal the land and fulfill all that he's promised to David. But I love this because I feel like what it's speaking to me, again, this is speaking directly to Israel, but when he starts to get into these promises that go into the restoration, when he gets into the promise of in the call, the Jeremiah 33:3, that I will answer and I will, I will show you things that are hidden. And he's saying specifically, addressing it to Jeremiah, but I truly believe, and most other scholars believe, that this is what has a wider application to all the people of God. As we call out to the Lord for understanding, he will give us understanding of his word. He will give us understanding for the purpose that he has for us in for such a time as this in our life. And what it's really speaking to me is that, yes, we may have judgment, like, and we even talked about this today with the leaders within the church. There may be judgment because we know that judgment is coming to the house first. It's coming to the people of God. But we know that within that, the Lord disciplines the ones whom he loves. He brings judgment not to destroy, but to purify. Even in the judgment of the world, we've talked about this, he's bringing that wrath must happen in order to purify the earth. That's always his goal, his mission, his heartbeat is to purify and make better, make the crooked path straight. I mean, how many prophecies, John the Baptist, prophet after prophet, it's all about purification and restoration. And I'm so thankful that we serve a God that is all about purification and restoration, because that means that his plan for me is to restore all that has been broken. All the mess ups that I've made, all the things that I've gotten in the way, and I have, went against him. He is restoring and making straight those paths that I chose to make crooked, that sin was bigger than I could have ever imagined, and it has effects bigger than I could have ever imagined. But he is restoring and cleansing and purifying. And that's part of our sanctification. So when I read this, yes, I know that it's on the scale of the people of Israel and that he's restoring their land. But I see spiritually, like we talked about earlier, what we have available to us in the kingdom, we can take this and we can take these principles and know that they are true, because there's so many scriptures that talk about the restoration and the abundant life that he has for us. And I just love the part when he starts to talk about the future, the way far in the future, as he comes and the bride and the bridegroom come together as one, and the voice of gladness, it shall be heard again after all of this suffering and all of this, all of the judgment and all these things, the time of mourning, but the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and gladness will be heard again in the voices of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, and that he will restore. Like, that's just that word, restore, and that this is his promise to us. This is one of his promises, many promises to us. And he's not holding back. Again, he talks about the striking down in his anger and in his wrath. But I'm so thankful that even in that, he has the heartbeat for healing. He said, I will bring health and healing and heal them and reveal to them the abundance of prosperity and security. And I'm thankful that in the Lord, actually, before I did this verse, I was going to go to Matthew 6:33, because the Lord was speaking to me on, like, how we need to get our, what we see as needs, we need to get it as what his word says is our needs. Because in Matthew 6:33, he talks about our needs are very basic. Like, it's food, it's shelter, it's clothing. Like, we sometimes, the more spoiled saints, we think that our needs are all kinds of different things that aren't our needs. But I'm so thankful that the Lord knows what we need. He knows what we need before we ever even ask for it. And he knows when we ask for things that aren't our needs, that those things aren't our needs. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to answer and give us the things that aren't good for us. And I'm just thankful that in this whole passage and in Matthew 6:33 and all of it, that he's showing us that he knows best for us. And we can't mess up his plan, basically. If we remain in him and he remains in us, he is working it out. He's perfecting our who we are in him. And he's made a way for us. Yeah. So.
Oh, man. Amen. Great word. Great word. Well, if you got a Bible question this morning, input 270-257-268 number. Nope, sorry, that's the number for trivia. 270-230-6337 is the number to text. Also, if you got a big Valentine's Day coming up tomorrow, interested, what's your plans? Or if maybe you say maybe you have another comment you'd like to have about Valentine's Day. I'm all game for that as well. We are continuing to pray for those who are under the weather, maybe sick. Miss Rachel, continue to lift her up, Miss Rachel Milburn. I don't know if I'm supposed to give names or not yet, but a family that I used to pastor lost a loved one this morning, and just the Lord knows their heart. So you can lift that family up in prayer, and so just a lot of things with a lot of people going on right now, and we're just going to stand in faith with people. I feel I feel such a heaviness for the hurting and the broken and those who are walking through difficulties of life right now. And we are with you, and we are walking with you. And if you need us for anything, we will pray with you, encourage you, do whatever we can for by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God to do that. Amen.
Amen.
I think we've worked through our
all our questions.
Immediate question list. You got any over there that I may not have access to yet? Because I know some people send you stuff. And
I think we got to them, all the ones that I had.
Praise be unto God.
Unless I could have missed some, possibly. But
I miss sometimes too.
Yeah, I think we did, though, get to them. Well, I was kind of expecting the Jason's questions to be a little bit worse.
Yeah, he said they were hard.
He said he saved the really hard ones.
Yeah. Hannah's like, this is getting easier.
No, it's not easy by any means, but I thought it was going to be some kind of like trap, like, you know, like open the can of worms. And
yeah, he's done that to me a
controversy.
Few times. He always asks the controversial questions of the days he's not here.
Yeah.
I've noticed that about him. The days he just happens to miss is the days he gives the worst questions.
Oh, gosh, I can't remember. It was some kind of topic on, I don't know, it was either relationship type, marriage, or along those lines, and sin with in that realm. And he was just, no, it was appropriate dressing, like dressing appropriately or something like that, modesty. And I mean, his face was, he just wanted to get out of here. He was just uncomfortable. I will never forget that morning. He was like, can we move on? Can we move on? Can we?
I do remember that. I do remember that morning.
You could tell, like, he's just like, nope, I don't want any part of this one. It's funny. We've tackled a lot of different topics.
We have
on here. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I've been here like 3 years, three going on four, but and all the years that the radio's been here, there's probably a lot of ground that's been covered.
Yeah. Actually, I was thinking about this the other day. I think this was this month is my fourth year hosting the program. And I've been on it a lot before that and got to guest host a lot and co-host and other things, but it's been 4 years since I've got the honor to kind of be on here most mornings. And so
that's crazy. It goes by so quick.
Yeah. And thank you to everybody who's wishing me a happy birthday. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Just another day though, just another day closer to 40. And so
maybe this year will go by a little bit slower.
Time does get faster, though, you get.
It really does.
Yeah, it does.
I'm seeing
and,
that.
And there was a lot of, the last year held a lot of things that were unexpected. And so praying for a great 39th year. Amen.
Amen. I'm feeling it this year. I know, like, every year people come up with all these catchy prophecies and things for the year, but and I mean, we should be looking forward to every new year with like hope and, you know, expecting good things, I guess. But I really do feel something different this year. Like, I can't say that I've felt like what I feel for people in the body of Christ. I know there is like judgment and there's people falling and there's things happening. But I think just as much as things are being exposed, I really have an expectation for like prodigals coming home, and not just coming home, but people really stepping into things that they have ran away from for a while, like mm-hmm. that the Lord wants them to step into.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already started to see a lot of those prayers be answered, so I'm excited.
Amen.
See what the Lord does.
Well, we're going to have to, we got an event over at the school this morning. We're excited about our prayer breakfast, and so we're getting ready to head over there in just a few minutes. Mr. Bjork and Mr. Miller is getting ready to come on and finish out this morning with their science department. So you make sure you stay tuned with that. Again, if you have prayer requests throughout the day, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Again, the station number is 270-257-2689, or my text number is 270-230-6337. For next week's programs, if there is something that you would like us to address biblically, again, I'm not going to bash people or go into it, but even in current events or something like that, if there's something you want us to talk through biblically on, We would love to do that as well. And this broadcast goes so much better with your involvement. So make sure you're chiming in.
I did forget. Speaking of those lines, I was. Did you? You probably didn't watch any of the. We're not going to bring it up again, but we did discuss the halftime shows.
I did not watch either one of them.
I felt like you probably didn't get to. And Jason watched one of them. He didn't watch the other one. Yeah. So, but we did talk about that because I saw a lot of different Christians talking about it. So we did cover that a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think it was pretty, I think we covered most of it pretty well.
What was your all's consensus?
Basically that, you know, neither one of them were God glorifying. But there was something towards the end of the Turning Point one that with one of the artists, you know, if he truly, everybody's going, you know, raving about, you know, him like changing and everything. And I truly, to me, I think it's hard when we're not doing life with somebody in the body of Christ. It's hard to know what's truthful and what's not. Only the fruit will show, you know, if somebody's life is truly changed. But my hope, I think our hope should be that they are truly changed. That if they're preaching the gospel, if they're speaking scripture, if they're calling people to the Lord and telling people to go read scripture and stuff like that, then our hope and prayer should be, you know, that the Lord use it and that it be genuine. You know, we should hope that it is. But I think we should always have that check in our spirit to not go with the jump on the bandwagon and be, you know, all about somebody who's coming out and saying that they are Christian. Yeah. Like, wait for the fruit before completely getting behind it.
Yeah. I feel like from all reports that I did see, I felt like I missed nothing with either.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel sad or anything about that. I just sit there with sick kids and watching my show I've been watching lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
so I guess that was kind of our thing, is don't be deceived either way by messages. And if somebody is, you know, looking like they're turning their life around, then I think our heartbeat should be, you know, it shouldn't be like, oh, well, they just,
yeah.
But it also shouldn't be, yes, I'm behind this person and they're the, they're the best Christian since, you know, we shouldn't be quick to jump onto those. I agree. That was basically our consensus. And then it was hilarious that, I don't even know, like, I didn't even know, Bad Bunny or whatever. And, Jason kept calling the person the Bad Bunny, so people were laughing at that because I guess he don't really know anything about him either.
I don't know anything.
And he kept saying, I guess he was saying it wrong, and they were laughing at that. But yeah.
Actually, we haven't been watching a lot of television because we were well, you know, our television, our living room, it's a nice one.
Yeah,
we're sitting there Tuesday, maybe. I think it was Tuesday or Monday. I can't remember which one it was. And, you know, we're dealing with sick kids. We finally get to sit down. And me and my wife's going to watch some television. It's probably about 7 o'clock in the evening. We're sitting there, and the whole television breaks as we're watching it. Like, completely goes out. It's ruined. It's done. It's gone for. There's no fixing it. It literally
breaks, like shatters.
No, like,
or
it
just
literally
stops working.
The screen just goes bloodshot red, and lines are everywhere, and it changes all the time. and so, literally, we've been at home without. We've been having to watch phones and tablets and stuff like that. We don't have. I go into Cloud and Ivy's room yesterday. They have their little, like, it's a really small kid's tablet we got them for Christmas, like really small, and they have it on a bookshelf watching from the floor because there's no television. I mean, so, like, not just dealing with the flu and 103 temperatures and all that good stuff, our television breaks in the midst of it, and we don't have money to replace it, so it's like bye-bye television. And we just bought that like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Wow.
It was a really nice television, and so it just, it literally croaked in the middle of sickness. For no reason. Like, it was just, we were literally watching, and it just poof.
That's
and
crazy.
So, we haven't watched anything. And
well, maybe it was the Lord's gift to you with all that stuff.
Oh, it's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift.
So you didn't have to be bored with these halftime shows.
Yeah. Yeah. What a That's gift.
Funny. What a gift. I'm just kidding.
Well,
he has more better things in store.
Yeah. So
that's hilarious though. I thought you were gonna say it shattered. I'm glad it didn't shatter.
No, I mean it's done though. It's gonna go in the trash once I get enough energy to take it down. And we have a smaller television, like literally half the size of it, that we're gonna move from our bedroom. But dealing with sick kids all week and then literally gonna sit down and just rest for a minute and that happens.
That's crazy.
So well, we're out of time this morning. Mr. Miller's going to be heading over here with Mr. Bjork to finish up the morning. And we're going to go to prayer breakfast with the kiddos at Bethel Christian Academy. And I'm excited for what the weekend holds, praying for you pastors, worship leaders, and Sunday school teachers, anybody who serves the body of Christ, to edify the saints and to build them up. We're praying for you. We love you. We're out of here. Me and Hannah are. We'll be back Monday morning. Mr. Miller's coming on just a second. Mr. Bjork. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
Welcome back to Mornings with Box 2. Jason Miller here with you, taking you to the top of the hour for the final segment of the week. And we are joined by Mr. Charles Bjork. Mr. Bjork, how are you doing this morning? Well, maybe we're not joined by Mr. Charles Bjork. Oh, there we go. Mr. Bjork, how are you doing? All right. It was a great setup for you, and then you were gone, but you're back. So, all right. You never went anywhere. It was just a malfunction in the radio. It happens from time to time. So are you doing well? All right. Well, and we're together. We've had so many disruptions in our programming, or at least our Friday morning programming, that it's 2 weeks in a row is a good thing. But so glad to have you back with us. And I do want to ask right off the bat, did we have a NASA launch this morning?
I didn't check to see if it was actually gone, but yeah. It's imminent.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You said it was scheduled to launch early this morning, but...
Yeah, and if it went off, I wasn't... I thought I had a time of 17:30 Eastern time.
Oh, okay.
But March the 3rd, 2026.
All right.
Anxious, I usually try to track those things down pretty well.
Sure. Here. All right. Well, I guess we'll stay tuned to see if that launch happens. But so let's just go ahead and dive in. What else you got for us?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. There's some additional things coming along.
Mm-hmm.
Late afternoon today, possibly, for the launch from Space Center, and they keep changing that launch time. Of course, depends on what's going on.
Sure, they have the conditions and everything, right?
17:30 Eastern time. Yeah, the other thing I was kind of found here, they said that the Earth. Dirt is older than Earth.
Dirt is older than Earth?
Yeah.
The Earth dirt is older than Earth.
That's right.
You might have to explain that one.
All right. Well, you got a lot of people don't recognize it, but the Earth gets blasted every day with a whole bunch of small particles. Sometimes they're big enough that they get pointed out by the news.
Sure.
But they're in the form of an asteroid. But other than the asteroids, we have lots of comets and we have lots of deep space particles. And so some scientists gather them all together and Earth's dirt's older than Earth.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, but we've got another launch time coming up here in the next few days. They would have already been off, but I think they had some problems with the system getting it.
Well, Mr. Bjork, I'm going to have to stop you there and apologize. Yeah. See, I misread your text. I didn't really. I thought it was 2/13. It's 3/13, which is March 13th.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder I couldn't find any information. I was looking this morning. I thought, well, maybe Mr. Bjork has top secret information that he knows about that I don't know. I'm a month off, so.
So. Well, it didn't help to have my screen with the wrong size.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's totally on me. So, okay. Well, this time next month, we'll be asking that question. All right. Carry on now.
Yeah, we have most people don't remember from school or otherwise any of the continents that are on the planet.
Uh-huh.
One of the ones that gets probably annoyed because it's lowest is called Zealandia.
Okay.
They've got Zealandia finally mapped, and so that's where they got this thing with the Earth dirt older than Earth came out of that study.
Mm-hmm.
And they have underwater continents. We know a lot of the continents that you study in school, but you usually don't get to hear the ones that are underneath.
Right.
the low land, like the Zealandia, of course, is talking about New Zealand. Everybody's familiar with that little continent, perhaps.
Sure.
But the whole region of the planet is called Zealandia. And it's their studies have found that a lot of rocky mountains down there. And we're going to, over the course of time, get a lot of that understood well. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of deep space, deep sea missions to get that under control. So, but Zealandia is in the Mid-Atlantic Ridge area of the planet.
All right.
And so that given us a real boost in the near term here for not much in the geography world, especially underwater geography.
Sure, yeah, me neither. There aren't very many people that are, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, they're glad to see it.
Yeah. Well, they're out there, but I just don't know any of them.
Right.
Underwater geography.
It's not the common.
Yeah.
They look in the schools and so on. They have to be. Oh, one of these guys that are in that particular science area.
Sure, yeah.
But always glad to have him. But in fact, we got a lot of exciting things coming up with the Artemis right now. The launch, a whole series of launches that are going to take place in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I think I try to, if something like that comes up, I'll try to make sure it shows up on the program.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting activity. And unfortunately, stuff like that. I have a nice, great screen here. It's about 5 feet wide and 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
I have a computer. And, they're looking at me all the time, making sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
So, we have that studies going on all the time for the different things, and the things I did most recently was in Annapolis, India.
Sure.
And,
3 years old, you can talk openly about feelings of low self-worth and how they translate into action. For example, when someone misbehaves in school, you might ask your child about it.
You got a background noise there.
Yeah, I see. All right. to see you.
There you go. You got it.
All right. I don't know what...
Oh, it's back again.
Okay. DHS, is that Department of Human Services?
Yes, huh?
Is it likely to be shut down at midnight?
Oh.
I hope that's not permanent. But
yeah.
It's on there. It's a little off the science agenda, but it's.
Right. I tell you what, let's see if we can't get that background noise squared away. If we need to take a break, we can come right back there. Okay, let's take a quick break if we can. Maybe a little song or something like that. We'll get that background noise squared away, and then we'll come right back there. All right. Roger, you want to give us a song or something, then we'll find out what that background noise is and get it lined out there. All right. Do we got it, Mr. Bjork?
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we got it. Oh, never mind. We're back in business, and we got it squared away. All right, sorry about that, listeners, and go ahead, continue on there.
Yeah, so anyway, we got the a launch time coming up here from NASA, and they would have already been launched were it not for a hydrogen leak they had, and otherwise this would be old news for everybody. But
sure.
Unfortunately, it hasn't happened yet. And then they have the last publicly produced time was. 5:15 a.m. time, so I was sleeping when that happened.
Right. Yeah, and as was I.
Yeah, but that's something that's going to be right on top of us here, and I'm happy to see it. And we have a couple of bizarre things happening.
All right.
Mars science guys have we're approaching the activity in space involving. I'm sort of a fan of the Mars related programs, but they but a lot of things are going on in deep space. Like they have. Black hole 300 million times the size of our sun.
Oh my.
It's, of course, the James Webb telescope is the one that's picking up a lot of that stuff, but it's humongous. And it's 300 million times the size of our own sun. So our own sun. That's fairly. And we also have the other thing happening over your constellation, Milky Way's constellation, like all the other constellations, mm-hmm. that has a base system. It's usually one or more black holes that are there.
Okay.
And our base system has the heart of our Milky Way galaxy. It's It's the biggest and darkest black hole we've ever encountered to date. And it's amazing in its magnitude, and I'm so glad we were on top of it, picking that up.
Right.
It's not an asteroid, it's not a comet, but if you look at the James Webb telescope things, they'll show you the scene, and then you'll have the star, and then you'll inside the star, they'll have a little black thing, which is literally the black hole, if there is one.
Right.
There's more than a lot of times. And so we, our galaxy is, like many others, it's just a little easier since we're in it, rather than having to look at it thousands of light years away.
Yeah.
but we do get visited every once in a while by comets and asteroids. A common thing for most guys who are looking at down the astronomy. There are all kinds of bizarre things happen when they come up with these productions. For example, in the ocean, we have the huge fish, sort of like a gigantic part of the orcas family, and they are the attacks. They bother fishermen regularly in the ocean, and they're causing all kinds of problems. And there's a in the continents, inside the continents, there's various geographical areas. We have like our Yellowstone volcanoes is an example of that. And it has a 19-mile bulge in the area of the Yellowstone supervolcano.
Oh, wow.
So that's quite a... coming around. We're trying to get some data coming from some other European companies like El Paso Aerospace. And they have a and the Federal Aviation Authority has been able to generate a bunch of beware signs over.
Okay, yeah.
El Paso for that person. There's going to be confusion because there's drones and balloons flying around, and makes things a little bit, most of the military guys are on top of it. We have to be careful with our own, we got a lot of military activity, of course, in our side of the world. And there's there issue warnings on the that they generate. The Aviation Authority has El Paso, Texas airspace area shut down from air traffic near the, which is going to be a problem for all the people who want to go there.
Yeah, yeah, I've read about that. I think they got it back and up and running again. Yesterday or maybe this morning, I can't remember.
Right.
But that was very strange to have it shut down like that. And then,
And then they have a whole group of people they discovered in South America. And they call them genetic ghosts. They're a long lost tribe of people, something that. How often do you hear anything about what's going on in South America? But that's one of the later things. They're Indian tribes like we have here, and they're really active, and they have found a group of people that have been, they knew existed, but they hadn't encountered them recently. So they call them the long-lost ghosts of South America. So it will, most of the things we have there are a result of the things that we discover in these various places.
Yeah.
For example, the avatars, they're calling them, will go to the moon here. They're going to be on the Artemis II expedition.
Okay.
Artemis II, things of a lot of people will be watching that probably on TV here in the next few days. But they're going to fly around the moon, and they have a crew of four, the crew 12, and they are going on the Earth on their way to the moon. They get to the moon. Unfortunately, much to my disappointment, they're not landing on the moon.
Okay.
They're going to fly around the moon.
Now, the Artemis II, that's the one that's supposed to go up in March, not February 13th, but March 13th.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard about it. And, yeah, they'll have, there's four astronauts on board, a couple of Russian guys and girls, and going with our crew. And they'll have a really exciting time. They'll be having a lot of stuff that they'll generate as a result of that program, I'm happy to say. And meanwhile, the United States has been doing some work on, you might have heard, you know, because of all the problems we're having with Europe and so forth. We got our Navy has been very active. We got a lot of aircraft carriers running around the ocean right now.
Yeah.
And we, one of those things includes, they say it's the biggest plane you can ever get on an aircraft carrier, and it's first for us as far as size of planes and that you can hear anything about. But one of the good things that's developed as a result of some of this study that's going on,
okay,
is they found a desert. The archaeologists have uncovered it. It's been hidden for 1,200 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
We're just finally coming to getting that out in the open, but it's a great discovery, and hopefully we'll stay on top of that stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Coming along, it's a good thing. We have we talked about Zealandia there earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
But under the continent, deep down under the ocean, we're talking now many miles under, beneath Australia, there is a cape that's developed from a it's a part of the magnetic anomaly that is got its origin in, at that particular location underneath Australia, and has a kind of a lot of excitement for the Navy. That should wander through there,
yeah,
later. We have a activity that down in the Arctic area, they have humongous thick ice. You remember, we have all this talk about Greenland right now. Greenland, how often does Greenland get in the news, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, you got that happening. We have a Navy has a
submarine, which is one of our first-class submarines, have broken through ice and surfaced down in the Arctic Sea. And it's... if I was on one of those ships, that's the last thing going on. I hadn't been crashing through ice. But nevertheless, the important thing is that there is a, they call it the Lost City, beneath the ocean.
Sure.
And it's very unlike anything we've ever noticed before in that, in our deep sea experiments, and that we've, and really amazed at that activity.
Sure. Well, that's a good stopping point there. I think it's a good place to kind of wrap things up, wind it down.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Oh, see, there's a lot coming from that. I'll
sure.
Stay on
time, yeah.
So I can talk about it when they, but it's the other way of detecting what's going on.
Right.
So, all right. That'll be good for another time.
Right. And, okay. All right. Then. Well, Mr. Bjork, as always, it's great to talk to you, and great to have you in for this half-hour segment. And so you have a great weekend, and you and Mary take care. And to all of our listeners, thank you for making Mornings with Box 2 part of your week. Join us back here Monday as well, 7 a.m. for another week of Mornings with Box 2 Radio.